You guys aren't awake, you are now. Let's see. See if this. Oh, you can hear me pretty good. All right. All right. So, come on. Testing. You guys hear me? Higher? Testing. Can you hear me now? It's good? All right. So, who here enjoyed the first day of camp? Nice, good. All right, that was pretty good. Okay, so before I get into my lesson for you guys today, I have just one question for you. Who here likes superheroes? Raise your hands. Don't lie, don't be a poser, guys. If you actually like superheroes, I want you raising your hand, okay? All right, so a good amount of you. Okay, put your hands down. Okay, so it's a sad fact, but I know that there's probably going to be some people in here that don't like superheroes, so you guys raise your hand. If you don't really like superheroes, you're not a big superhero fan, Brosif, I have more faith in you than that, but that's fine, okay? All right, so you guys can put your hands down now. Okay, so for those of you who said that you do like superheroes, because you like superheroes, because you've probably seen all those Marvel movies, right? Marvel Cinematic Universe, you've probably seen Spider-Man Homecoming, right? Who's seen that one? Is that pretty good? I know you guys saw it. Good. I know my Knights Academy boys saw it. Okay, so that's too close to that speaker. All right. So because you guys like these superheroes, because you enjoy seeing all these movies and everything like that, because you get excited about it, do you talk to your friends and your family about it? Yeah. You go and tell everyone how excited you are about these movies because you're just like so into them and you like them so much, right? Yeah. Okay, right? Okay, so for those of you, wherever you guys were, that said you didn't like superheroes, do you talk to your friends and family about them very much? Is that really a topic you talk about with all your friends? Getting excited about all these superhero movies you don't even watch? You don't even go to see, you don't even care about, right? Right. If you don't really like something, you're not going to talk about it, right? Okay. Well, now, let me change it up on you guys a little bit, okay? And this is a question for everyone. It's all across the board. Don't raise your hand. Don't say anything out loud. I just want you to think about this to yourselves, okay? Instead of superheroes, what about Jesus Christ? Do you think that if you get excited about a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you're going to want to tell others about that? Do you think that if you get excited about everything you're learning at church camp, do you think if you get excited about everything you're learning in the Bible, everything you're learning about Christ, do you think you're going to want to tell other people about that? Yeah. What about if you don't get excited about Jesus Christ? What about if you don't get excited about a relationship with the Lord? You think you're going to tell other people about him then? Because, you know, guys, just like you can get excited about those superheroes or whatever you're into, sports, video games, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're excited about, that's what you're going to tell other people about. That's what you're going to tell other people about. And I want you guys to keep that in mind as I talk to you about this missionary that I've been studying lately. Keep that in mind. I'm only going to talk to others about what I care about. I'm only going to talk the most about what I care about the most. Over in Matthew 12:34, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." In the same book in Matthew, it says in chapter 6, verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So whatever you treasure in your heart the most, whatever you care about the most, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. That's what you're going to talk to other people about. That's how it works. And now, this missionary I'm going to talk to you guys about, his name is David Brainerd, and he definitely lived out this concept. Guys, this missionary has influenced so many other Christians well past the time that he died. He's influenced so many pastors, preachers, evangelists, missionaries, so many people well past the point that he died. And you know, guys, really early in his life, his one heart's desire was to serve his Lord and Savior. His one heart's desire was to serve Jesus Christ. He wanted that probably more than anything. And if you guys ever read his diary is probably the biggest influence, the thing in his life that left the biggest impact on the Christian world. If you guys ever get a hold of his diary, I don't know how many of you have read it, but if you ever read it, prepare to have your relationship with the Lord challenged, because that's what it did for me. It challenged my perspective on my relationship with Christ, how much I cared about him, how badly I sought him more than anything else. Because I'll tell you guys, I don't seek the Lord like I should. But we as Christians, we have to do that. And so I want to read just a few quotes from his diary for you about his desire to serve the Lord, to serve his Lord and Savior. "Lord, to thee I dedicate myself. Oh, accept of me, and let me be thine forever. Lord, I desire nothing else. I desire nothing more. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides this blessed portion. Oh, I feel it is heaven to please him and to be just what he would have me to be. Oh, that my soul were holy as he is holy. Oh, that it were pure, even as Christ is pure, as my Father in heaven is perfect. As long as I see anything to be done for God, life is worth having. And so, guys, because he had such an intimate relationship with the Lord, because he cared about serving the Lord Jesus Christ so much, he naturally wanted to tell others about him. He wanted others to get saved like he was saved. He wanted others to know the Lord like he knew the Lord. And so I'm just going to read a few quotes in his diary about that desire he had because he wanted to serve his Lord and Savior so much. Because he got so excited about his relationship with the Lord, he wanted to see other people be saved. I longed that others should know how good a God the Lord is. My soul was full of tenderness and love, even to the most inveterate of my enemies. I longed they should share in the same mercy and love that God should do just as he pleased with me and everything else. I longed to proclaim the grace I then meditated upon to the world of sinners. My soul blessed God for what he is in himself and adored him that he ever would display himself to creatures. I rejoiced that he was God and longed that all should know it and feel it and rejoice in it. And so now, guys, I'm going to give you a rundown of his life. I want you guys to see how he developed in this great missionary that he's become known to be. So now, David Brainerd, he grew up in the 1700s. He grew up in the 1700s in colonial America. It was basically like the dinosaur age to us now. I mean, like way back when, prehistoric times, 1700s. You know, they're writing the Declaration of Independence at that time, too. It's pretty old. But he was born on April 20th, 1718, in Haddam, Connecticut. And he was born into a very large family. He had 9 siblings. So in total, he was one of 10 siblings. Who here has 10 siblings? Who here has 10 siblings? So I think we can all agree it's not relative. That's a pretty large family, right? He probably had to fight for attention. Who here is like a middle child or something like that? You guys know what it's like to fight for attention then. I'm sure that's what David Brainerd was doing. Okay, and so growing up, now his father and mother, they were very well respected in their community. They were very highly regarded. They were very popular people. They were very respectable. And they were also very religiously strict. They were very strict. They were constantly making sure that their kids got up on Sunday mornings, every morning, and they went to church. They were constantly making sure that their kids read their Bibles, they knew their Bible verses, they were always praying. You know, if they had Sunday school and Wednesday night back in the dinosaur era, they probably were doing that. I don't know if they did or not. But they were always making sure that their kids did this stuff. And that's good. That's good Christian things to do. That's what we should be doing as Christians. And so because of that, David Brainerd, growing up, he certainly knew about the Lord. And I say knew about the Lord. Because when he was doing these things, he did them from a very young age. And when he was doing these things, he was doing them for the wrong reason. While those are good things to do, he was doing them for the wrong reason. He was doing them because he thought he was going to get saved by doing that stuff. He thought by doing those things that he would earn some kind of favor with God, that he could earn his salvation, that he could be good enough, you know? You always hear people, if you ever ask them about, you know, have you been saved? Or do you know the gospel? Or do you know Jesus Christ? You know, and then you start talking to them about that, and they'll be like, oh, well, I mean, I'm a good person. I mean, I haven't killed anybody. That always seems to be like the standard for if you're a good person, you haven't killed anybody. I don't know why. That always comes up. Whenever you ask somebody, it's always like, well, I haven't killed anybody. Oh, you're going to heaven. You're good. You killed somebody? Oh, okay. All right. It always seems to be the standard for some reason. But yeah, he thought he could earn salvation by doing good works, by his good works that he did. And because of that, he wouldn't get saved till later on in life, about the time he became an adult. And so now, unfortunately, when he was only 9 years old, his father passed away. And then just 5 short years after that, his mother passed away as well, leaving all of his siblings orphans. And so he lived with his big sister for a while, and he was even living with some local pastors, kind of bouncing around to their houses and stuff like that. And so obviously that was a very tragic time in his life. That was a very difficult thing for him to go through. And along with this, he also struggled with depression from a very young age. In his diary, he says he was prone to melancholy, basically depression. He was always quick to get sad. He was always quick to be downtrodden for some reason. So with that, along with being an orphan at a very young age, thankfully, though, things turned around for him. One day, on July 12th, 1739, he finally realized that he was trying to get saved wrong. He had the wrong understanding of how to get saved. He finally realized that it wasn't about how good of a person he was. It wasn't about how many times he read his Bible. It wasn't about how many times he got up on Sunday morning and went to church or went to Wednesday night. It wasn't how many times he prayed. It wasn't about any of those things. He couldn't earn his salvation. He finally realized that it was only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the price that he paid on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world, that he was going to get saved. He finally understood and realized that. And on that day, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so after that, as you guys can imagine, as any good Christian would ever do, you know, he wanted to pursue the Lord. He wanted to start living for the Lord. He had just given himself over to the Lord. He trusted the Lord as his personal Savior, and now he wants to serve the Lord. Excuse me. And so in order to do this, he's like, well, I think I should become a pastor. And during this time, if you wanted to become a pastor back in the dinosaur age, if you wanted to become a pastor, you had to attend a very prestigious college like Yale or like Harvard or something like that. And so he decided to attend Yale College. He wanted to become a pastor. That was how he was going to serve the Lord. And so now David Brainerd also grew up during a time called the Great Awakening. And it's a time in church history where there was this new wave of preaching going around. There were very famous preachers at this time by the names of George Whitefield, James Davenport, Gilbert Tennant. Maybe you guys have heard of some of them. And so these preachers were coming to Yale, and they were preaching these amazing sermons to all the students. And these students were eating it up. It probably sounded like Bob, you know, how much we love and eat up Bob sermons, how much we love that stuff. It probably sounded a lot like Bob, I imagine. And so they were eating up, you know, all this preaching and stuff like that. But the teachers weren't into it so much. The teachers didn't really care too much about it. They weren't into this great awakening. They weren't into this new way of preaching that was going on. And because of that, there was a lot of conflict between the students and the teachers. So what happens to our boy David? Well, one day, a student overhears him saying that one of his teachers, quote unquote, has no more grace than a chair. And you might be asking yourself, what in the world does that mean? Basically, just like this chair that he is sitting on right now, the chair, not him, the chair, just like this chair can never get saved and go to heaven, his teacher is never going to get saved and go to heaven. I'm really sorry, chair. But yeah, so he made that comment. And so basically with that, the teachers were so mad at him that he got expelled. He got expelled, and his dreams to serve the Lord were shattered. He wasn't going to become this great pastor anymore. He could kiss that goodbye. That wasn't going to happen anymore. Now, guys, has anything disappointing ever happened to you in life? Is there ever anything you wanted to do really bad, but it just didn't work out? Was there ever a sports team that you guys wanted to get on, but maybe you just didn't make the team? Or any of you high schoolers, was there a scholarship you ever tried out for, but you didn't get it? You know, that was your plan. You were going to go to this great college, you know, do something pretty amazing, and it just didn't work out. Or something in the ministry, something in your guys' church. Maybe it's an opportunity you were hoping you were going to get to take advantage of in the ministry, and it just didn't happen. Because, you know, oftentimes, guys, whenever the Lord closes a door in our lives to do something, it's usually because he's opening up another one. You know, God's got a mission for every single one of us, but it's not always what we think it's going to be. And whenever we get called to do that mission, we have to be willing to do it. Because we're missionaries, right? You can answer that. All right. So, because not soon after that, David was recommended by a colleague of his to a local missionary group. And on July 29, 1742, he received a license to preach from this missionary group. But along with that, the Lord also gave him a mission field. The Lord gave him a mission field. And around the same time, he was commissioned to minister to the Native Americans of colonial America. That was his mission field. David Brainerd was a missionary to the Native Americans. That's what he did. Those were the people that God put in his world to minister to. And so now, during his missionary trips to the Indians, he traveled to several different places. He traveled to New York, to New Jersey, to Pennsylvania, all across, you know, all those 13 colonies, all that good stuff. So now, how many cross-country runners do we have in here? Oh, we got at least a few. Raise those hands high. Be proud of it. I did cross-country. All right, good, good. Okay, yeah, so each one of these Indian settlements, these Indian tribes that he went to, they were roughly 100 miles apart from each other. So for you cross-country runners, how does 100 miles sound? Would you want to run that? That sound pretty good? I would vomit. I mean, I would not be able to do that. I think the most I ever ran in cross-country was like 8 miles, and it was both brutal, and if anyone was watching, it was really probably pathetic and sad to watch. I wanted to just die and vomit right there. But in total, he traveled well over 3,000 miles during his missionary trips, not running the whole time, okay. He was walking and riding on horseback. But yeah, that's still a long distance. And so now his first missionary trip that he took was a really fun name to pronounce, Kau Naumik. Look that up and say it 5 times fast. But not right now. Okay, and so during this first missionary trip he took, He actually really began to struggle with his depression. Remember how I told you guys he was prone to melancholy, he struggled with his depression and everything like that? He really struggled with it at first. And you know why? Because at first, the Indians weren't really quick to accept his preaching, you know? Some guys coming in here and, you know, talking about different beliefs, and you already have this one set of beliefs, and you're like, whoa, wait, what is this? I don't know if, like, I want that, you know? I mean, I got my own life going on here. I got my own thing going on. I don't know if I want this gospel. You know, they weren't real quick to listen to what he was saying. And because of this, he struggled with depression so bad, and he had such low lows. He felt like such a failure, he actually wanted to die. He wanted just to give up and die. He's like, Lord, just kill me now. Lord, just kill me now. I'm such a failure at this. I want to read an entry in his diary about this to you guys. He says, appeared to myself ignorant, weak, helpless, unworthy, and altogether unequal to my work. It seemed to me I should never do any service or have any success among the Indians. My soul was weary of life. I longed for death beyond measure. He was so discouraged and downtrodden by his lack of success at first that he actually wanted to die. But despite this, guys, what got him out of that depressive episode, what got him out of struggling with his depression, was the time he spent in prayer to the Lord. What got his eyes off of himself, off of his inadequacies, off of his insecurities, off of himself, his own petty worries and problems and things like that, was when he turned his eyes on Jesus. You guys know there's a hymn that goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what we have to do as Christians, guys, because there's going to be times in our lives, and I'm sure we've already experienced it, there's going to be times in our lives where we get discouraged. There's times in our lives where we're trying to be missionaries for the Lord, we're trying to do what the Lord wants us to do, that we get discouraged. I know there's definitely been plenty of times like that in my life, but just like David Brainerd, whenever he would begin to focus on the Lord instead of his insecurities, instead of how he felt like a failure or whatever, it didn't matter to him anymore. All that mattered was how good God was, how good of a God he served. That was all that mattered when he would turn his eyes upon Christ. And so he got out of his depression. He kind of got through that. And so his second trip was to a place called Cross Weeksung in New Jersey, Cross Weeksung. And now this is the Indian group that he had his greatest success in. And think about that. Isn't that funny? How he has this discouraging time. He has this discouraging time. He feels like he's a failure. He feels like he shouldn't keep going anymore. Oh, I should just give up right now. I'm not getting success right away. I'm not getting, you know, that instant gratification. Things aren't working out as soon as I want them to. And then he prays to the Lord. He gets his eyes on Jesus. He gets over that, and then boom, right after that, he has his greatest success. What if he stopped right there? What if he didn't keep going? What if he just gave up right there? Well, he was like, yeah, Lord, just kill me right now. I'm not going to be any good for this. You've called me to do this, Lord, but clearly you don't know what you're talking about. I can't do this. No, the Lord did know what he was talking about. There's just going to be challenges in our lives when we're trying to serve the Lord. That's just how it is. That's just what happens sometimes, but we have to keep going. And so with this Indian group, like I said, they were his greatest success. They quickly grew concerned for their souls, and they felt like Jesus Christ wasn't in their heart. They were always telling him that. He's not in my heart. And they understood that they needed him. They accepted that. And he spent a lot of time talking with these Indians one-on-one, actually. He built a house amongst them so he could minister to them better. And many times the Indians were just coming up one by one, just wanting to talk to him about Jesus Christ. Large amounts of them got greatly convicted by the messages that he gave about Jesus Christ and their need for him and salvation. In one place in his diary, he writes, many of them were then much affected and appeared surprisingly tender, so that a few words about their soul's concerns would cause the tears to flow freely and produced many sobs and groans. These Indians, guys, they were crying out loud to get saved, all right? If you guys have ever been to a concert, you know, you cry out loud for this awesome rock band that you're listening to, how much you love them, you know, and stuff like that. But how many of us cry out loud to the Lord in a church service? Oh, God, help me. Amen. How many of us have the guts to do that? I don't have the guts to do that. I don't have the guts to do that. How many of us would have the guts to do that? To cry out loud and say in front of other people that we need the Lord. But that's what these Indians did. And so, along with Kyle Naumeek in Cross Weeksung, he traveled to many different other places, like I said, along the Delaware River and Pennsylvania, as well as this place called Susquehanna. And so, like I was talking about with Kyle Naumeek, some of these Indians were quick to accept what he said, and some weren't. But it was never the Indians that gave him the most difficulty. It was never the Indians that gave him the biggest problems. What it was just simply the physical and the spiritually discouraging things that he had to go through. You know, the Bible says over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, and it's one of my favorite verses. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, guys, as we're living for the Lord, like I was saying, there's going to be tough times. I mean, there just is. And there has to be. There has to be. If there was never anything difficult that we had to go through, we would never grow spiritually. We would never grow spiritually. We'd basically just stay like babies. We'd stay like baby Christians, and we would never grow. And there's going to be discouraging times in our lives. There's going to be obstacles in your world. There's going to be things that come up. You know, say, for instance, like, maybe you are on a sports team, but there's like a practice on a Wednesday or a Thursday night or on a Sunday morning. You know, that's an obstacle. That's a decision that you have to make. Okay, am I going to go to church? Am I going to do what God would have me to do? Or am I just, you know, not going to try to get around this obstacle? Am I not going to do what I need to do? And I'm just going to let it happen to me. Okay, well, I'm on the sports team. I'm committed, you know. I got to go. And that's just one example, guys. There's so many different things there's so many different obstacles that are going to come into our worlds that we're going to have to face. And we're going to have to make decisions. Are we going to get past those obstacles or are we not? Are we ready to stop growing or do we want to keep going? And so some of the hardships, guys, that he had to endure, one of the biggest ones was this disease that he had. And he kind of started developing it around his college years. And it was a disease known as tuberculosis. And this disease, the worst thing that it did to him was it would cause him to periodically spit up blood. Just spit up blood. And as he got older and closer to death, he just started vomiting up blood. He started vomiting up blood. He became very just weak. Very brittle, just very weak. Manual labor was extremely hard for him. It was very difficult for him to do anything that required a lot of strength and energy while he was ministering to the Indians. And he also grew so feverish at times that he couldn't even read his Bible. Or he couldn't even focus enough to pray. And then another big thing too, guys, he really just struggled with loneliness. Other than his interpreter, the interpreter that he had to the Indians, he had no other Christian friends around him. He had no church family. He had no one else around him. He had to go it on his own. He had to trust in the Lord and lean on his relationship with God because there was no one else there. And you know, sometimes, I mean, praise the Lord that we have an awesome church here. Praise the Lord that we have Christian friends. I mean, that's really a blessing, guys, that we have other Christians here, other missionaries, fellow missionaries that we can lean on that will help us with what we're going through. But David Brainerd didn't have that. And he writes in his diary about this, and he says, My circumstances were such that I have no comfort of any kind but what I have in God. I live in the most lonesome wilderness, have but one single person to converse with that can speak English. I have no fellow Christian to whom I might unbosom myself or lay open my spiritual sorrows, with whom I might take sweet counsel and conversation about heavenly things and join in social prayer. He didn't have anybody. And his food supply wasn't any comfort to him either. In the same entry, he says, I live poorly with the regards to the comforts of life. Most of my diet consists of boiled corn, hasty pudding, etc. I don't know how he could live without pizza. I lodge on a bundle of straw. My labor is hard and extremely difficult, and I have little appearance of success to comfort me. And along with that, too, I told you guys he rode on horseback. Well, sometimes his horse would just get stolen. Sometimes he would tie it up on a tree, maybe, leave it somewhere, and Pegasus would get stolen. Or there was even this one time where his horse got so injured that he had to put it down. He couldn't ride it anymore. I mean, he just had to walk the rest of the way. He had to put it down. But you know, guys, all that stuff that would be really difficult for me to go through. I don't think I could do that. But one of the biggest things he faced, or one of the biggest things that tried to be in opposition for him anyway, was the opposition he faced from his peers. The opposition he faced from people around him. You know, there were people in David Brainerd's life that told him, why are you trying to minister to these Indians? Is there really any point? I mean, are their lives going to be any better if they get saved? Are their lives going to be any better if they give themselves over to the Lord, if they start pursuing him? Is it really going to make a difference? Does it really matter? And you know, guys, there's going to be people in your world that might say those things to you. They might tell you, well, what's the big deal about church anyway? What's the big deal about church? Is the Bible really all that important? Isn't it just a book written by man? I mean, is it really that big of a deal? Why is the Bible so big a deal to you? I mean, come on, wouldn't you rather go party on a Saturday or Friday night? Isn't that more fun? Isn't that what life's all about? What's this Bible anyway? You know, sometimes there's going to be people in our lives that say that. There's been people that have said that to me before. But like I said, guys, that tried to be in opposition to him. The devil tried to throw that his way, but it didn't work. David Brainerd was sold out to the Lord. He was sold out to his mission. That was all he cared about. He wasn't about to let anyone in his world change that. He wasn't about to let anyone in his world take him in a different direction because he had his heart set on the Lord. He cared so much about the Lord, he didn't care about the things of the world. It wasn't a big deal to him. He didn't care about any kind of doubts that other people would try to put in his mind. And that's what we have to do as Christians, guys. And I'll tell you what, I've doubted my relationship with the Lord. It's been hard for me before. There's been times where I've thought, yeah, maybe I should just give up. This is kind of tough. I don't know if you guys have ever felt that way, but I have. I felt that way before. And along with all these things, loneliness, depression, disease, lack of food, bodily weakness, opposition from peers, he never stopped. He never stopped. Praise the Lord, he didn't stop, because if he stopped, we may not know about him today. He may not even know about this missionary. And so, guys, in his last days, he eventually became so ill with his disease that he had to stop ministering to the Indians. He had to stop. He had to stop. He was so weak and so frail. His fevers became so bad, he really couldn't concentrate very well. And so, in his last days, he lived motionless on a bed in Northampton, Massachusetts, actually in the house of a very famous preacher known by the name of Jonathan Edwards. And Jonathan Edwards actually published his diary. And along with publishing it, he also wrote a few entries in his diary about David Brainerd. And in his diary, he talks about the heart that David Brainerd had. He talks about how David Brainerd was always so grateful that he knew the Lord. He was always so grateful to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for saving him and the relationship that he had with him and all the times that the Lord took care of him. And he was also always praying for the Native Americans that he ministered to. He was always praying for their souls. He was always so grateful that the Lord gave him that mission that he gave him. And so October 9th, 1747, at only age 29, David Brainerd finally passed away. His life was cut short by his disease. But with that, even though he thought he was a failure at first, he wasn't a failure. He fulfilled the mission that God had for him. He did what the Lord called him to do. He ministered to the Indians. He won their souls to the Lord. He taught them the Bible. He taught them how to live good, godly lives and to pursue their newfound Savior. And guys, like I told you earlier, those things go hand in hand. When you have such an intimate relationship with the Lord, when he's the number one thing to you, when you get as excited about him as you will superheroes, as you will sports, or not even that, guys, more than that. Amen. When you get more excited about Jesus Christ than anything the world could ever offer you, that's when you're going to want others to get just as excited as you are. That's when you're going to want others to care about the Lord like you care about the Lord. Your heart's going to desire that so desperately when you have an intimate relationship with the Lord that you're naturally going to bear fruit for him in your life. You're naturally going to want other people saved just like you are. You know, the picture pretty much is when two parents love each other, they eventually produce children. And it works the same way in our lives spiritually. When we have such a close walk with the Lord, just a closer walk with Jesus, when we have a close, intimate relationship with the Lord like that, that's when we bear fruit. That's when we see other people saved. But it doesn't happen until then. It doesn't happen until we care. And so, you know, whether you guys realize it or not, just like Bob was saying, if you're saved here this morning, God has called you to be a missionary. And you might be thinking to yourself, Bob was talking about it, but you might be thinking to yourself, well, okay, sure, I'm a missionary, but I'm never going to do what David Brainerd did. I'm just a kid from Kansas City. I'm just a kid from California. I'm just a kid from Washington. I'm just a kid from Texas or wherever you're from. I'm never going to do what he did. I'm never going to do anything crazy like that. I'm never going to go over to a foreign country and preach the gospel there. Think about this, guys. Whoever said he was going to call you to those places? Whoever said the Lord didn't just want you to be a missionary right here in Kansas City, in California, in Washington, wherever you're from? Whoever said the Lord wasn't just going to call you there, where you're already at? Kind of convenient, right? He's already placed you here. You know, whether you realize it or not, your family is your first ministry. Your family, your friends, your classmates, or your coworkers, that's your first ministry. Guys, it's no accident that you have the parents that you have. It's no accident that you have the family you have. It's no accident you know the people you know. It's no accident you've crossed paths with all the people in your life. That's no accident. There's no accident with God. And get this too, guys. In his diary, in David Brainerd's diary, he never called the Indians the Indians. He called them his Indians. He owned his mission field. He owned the mission that God had for him. He saw them as his spiritual responsibility. It was his responsibility to preach the gospel to them. It was his responsibility to carry that out. And he never dropped the torch. Even when he got discouraged, even when he felt like dropping the ball, he didn't. Because he turned his eyes on the Lord. And guys, just like those were his Indians, get this. It's your family. It's your friends. It's your classmates. It's your coworkers. It's the people that God has placed in your life, and he's placed them there for a reason. You know, guys, as Christians, we have to realize it's our spiritual responsibility to preach the gospel to the people that God has put in our worlds. He's put them there for a reason. There's no accident. It's no accident you know the people you know, because those people in your life that are unsaved, they have no hope in Christ. They have no hope of going to heaven. They have no hope of salvation. But if you're saved, you do. You have that hope. You have that hope inside of you. And we have to give it out to people. Another thing, guys, how do you know there's ever going to be another example of Christ in their lives? You know, the people that we minister to, the people we know, the family members we have, we may be the only example they ever see of Jesus Christ. Think about this. Maybe no one else would have preached to those Indians. Maybe no one else would have cared to give them the gospel. But David Brainerd did. And he saw it as his responsibility to do that. And so, guys, if you get nothing else out of this message, please just get this. If you remember nothing else about what I said, you know, maybe it was just static in your ears, maybe you're thinking about superheroes or something like that. If you get nothing else from this message, just get this. If you're not seeking the Lord in your own life, then you're not going to care if someone else is. It's not going to be a big deal to you. It just won't. Like I said, guys, David Brainerd, because he had such an intimate and close relationship with the Lord, that was what made him want to show others Christ. He wanted that for other people, too. He wanted that for other people, too. And you know, guys, if you're not saved here this morning, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's my prayer for you, as well as the prayer of everyone else here, all the counselors, all the helpers, and everybody, that you'll think about that at camp this week. Because this week is a time to think about that. It's a time to get that done. Because I'll tell you guys, this life is temporary. I know personally in my own life, a lot of times, I get fooled into thinking that it's not temporary and that this is all that matters, and it's not. There's an eternity, and it's a lot more important than what's happening right here in this lifetime. And you know, there's an eternity. There is a hell, but there's also a heaven. But just like David Brainerd had to realize, there's only one way you're going to get there, and that's by Jesus Christ. So thank you so much, guys, for giving me this opportunity. I hope that was a blessing to you.